السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واضرب لهم مثل الرجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers, a fortnight or so ago we were discussing these ayat and these verses of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives the example of those two people, one of whom he had blessed with two gardens of grapevine, two gardens of grapevine. And also Allah Ta'ala caused those gardens to be surrounded with date palms, two huge gardens of grapevine and surrounded by date palms. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in between those two gardens also gave them plantations, corn fields or whatever other crops that you can think of. That land was producing everything. So plenty of grapes, plenty of dates, plenty of other crops. And not only that, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also gave the person plenty of other wealth and also children. And Allah Ta'ala gave the person a great following. Now all these things, instead of bringing humility in him, instead of making him believe in Allah Ta'ala, instead of making him believe in the Akhirat, instead of him believing that all these are ni'mats and bounties of the Creator, he rejected the Creator himself. He disbelieved in Allah Ta'ala. He considered all these bounties to be of his own hard work and effort. And not only that, but this person truly believed that if Allah Ta'ala is giving him so much in this world upon his rejection and his disbelief, then in the hereafter, in the first place, there is no hereafter. He doesn't believe in a hereafter. He doesn't believe in a day of judgment. He doesn't believe in the final hour. He doesn't believe that there will be Qiyamah. But even if there is a hereafter and there is a day of judgment, as his friend told him in the discussion, so then he says that if I have been blessed with all these things in this world, then definitely, most certainly, that Allah in whom you believe, he will give me a better place in Jannat, in that paradise. So before we go into the detail, I was discussing these first ayat and time was up, and we said inshallah we will continue, but it happens that sometimes we forget about it for many weeks. So this is the subject of pride that I was talking about, that it is a killer disease, and unfortunately there's hardly a person today that is not affected by this disease. And if a person was rich and he was affected by this disease of pride, then at least we could have understood that he had something to be proud about, or he had something that could have caused him to act in arrogance and in pride, with pride. But if the poor person also has the same sickness and disease, then it is something of concern, that what is he now really bragging about? Why is he looking down upon those that have less than what he has? Why is he rejecting the truth when he doesn't even have properties or gold or silver or something to brag about? So that is even worse. So this sickness is not only of the rich. It is a sickness that affects the poor, the rich. Therefore, a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he states that on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah, la yukallimuhumullahu yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not speak to three people on the day of Qiyamah. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ, and Allah Ta'ala will not look at them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, and for them is severe punishment. On the day of judgment, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will neither look at them, neither talk to them, and there will be severe punishment for them. Now this does not mean that Allah Ta'ala will not look and Allah Ta'ala will not talk, so it means that this person now is free, because Allah Ta'ala didn't look at him, Allah Ta'ala didn't speak to him, so there's nothing for him. Because immediately after that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, for them is very severe punishment. So it means that Allah Ta'ala will not look at them with a gaze of mercy and rahmat, as He will look at His awliya, His friends, and the good people, the pious ones. Allah Ta'ala will not look at them with a gaze of mercy and rahmat. The first one that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about is that old person who is engaging in zina. That elderly person who is engaging in zina. Although I was going to speak about pride, but now this hadith sharif came to mind. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that elderly person who is engaging or indulging in zina, Allah Ta'ala will not look at him, Allah Ta'ala will not talk to him, and for him is very severe punishment. There will be punishment for those people that are committing zina, but for this person who is elderly. Because what else now is he looking forward to? Is he looking forward to youth returning to him? Now that he has gone past his youthful days and he's gone past his middle age, so what is he waiting for now? When one leg of his is already in the grave, so is he waiting for a disastrous death? Is he waiting for his death to come whilst he's in the home of the prostitute? Or whilst he's committing adultery? Does he not even have any kind of khawf and fear that I've already reached a ripe old age, and for me to commit zina in this age, it is something that is not acceptable in any kind of society. But of course our society is such now that anything is acceptable. So the elderly person who is watching all the filth on the television, or is watching the filth on the internet, or he is reading those filthy magazines, or he is engaging and indulging in zina, in adultery, or sometimes it could be that that elderly person is not married still and is engaging in fornication, because there are so many of them, they're not married, but they're living with their mistresses and they're carrying on with all their haram dandas. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person who is elderly and he is committing zina, then for him Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will neither look at him with an eye of mercy nor talk to him with rahmat, and for him is very severe punishment. Because this person should be now thinking more of the akhirat. Now that does not mean that the young person, he is allowed now to commit zina because he is young. I've discussed many times the harms of zina, and that it's a scourge of our society, and all those things that lead to zina, how we should shun it and distance ourselves from it, because it brings no happiness in the person's life. It brings nothing but misery. It brings nothing but destruction. It leads to many marital problems. It leads to breakdowns of marriages. We are dealing every day with cases, so we know that elderly people also are involved in indulging in zina. And they are caught out many a times. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that's the first category. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that king who is speaking lies. Now if a person speaks lies, then it is a sin, it's a major sin. But a king who is saying that he's got authority, he's got kingdom, he's got power, he's got military, and he's got army, and he's got everything. Now what is the need for that king to speak lies? So for him those same punishments. And the third person is that poor person who is proud. So it links up with that same subject that we are talking about. That poor person, he is poor but he's proud. He's arrogant. He doesn't want to accept haqq. He doesn't want to turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself. Although he has nothing at home, he's got no food. Sometimes he's starving. Sometimes he has to beg for food and for help. He has to beg for money to pay his rent, light, water bills. But yet he is proud and is arrogant. And I'm talking about the pride and arrogance which keeps the person away from the masjids, from the home of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and from turning to Allah ta'ala and begging of him and asking him for forgiveness of sins and leading a life of righteousness and piety. But this poor person also does the same thing. If he gets an opportunity to sin, then he also goes ahead. There's no salat, no nothing in his life also. Now, how many poor people like this we find throughout the world? And not only throughout the world, in other places, but go to the refugee camps. I'm talking about the refugee camps. I have been to refugee camps. So go to the refugee camps and go and see the situation and the condition. After the riots, or after storms, or after destruction which has taken place on a very large scale, where thousands and thousands of homes have been destroyed and lives have been lost, and there's nothing now but disaster, and there's nothing else but misery and all kinds of problems and all kinds of sicknesses and diseases that are becoming rampant in those camps. But go and count the number of people that are making salat. Sometimes you can count them on your fingertips. You have to make an extensive effort amongst them to tell them that please, now that this disaster has struck, turn towards that Allah, because there's no other way out. People who are living in palaces, people who are living in mansions, people who are living in luxuries, but we have seen so many of them ending up in refugee camps due to bombings and due to earthquakes and due to so many other kinds of disasters. So that is the third category that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, that that poor person who has got pride in him. So pride is very bad. It's a very severe disease of the spiritual kind, and it's very, very bad for the rich also. But especially when it comes to the poor person, then it is even worse. Therefore, another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He dislikes and detests the person who commits sins. The fasiq, fajir, the sinful one, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dislikes. He is displeased with him. And why should he not be displeased? Because he is the one who has provided everything. Everything who has provided, it is Allah ta'ala. I've mentioned this many times in different bayans, that if you have to analyze whatever we have, you will have to come to the conclusion that it is none but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who has blessed us with it. Because if it is due to our intellect, then who is the one that provided us with that intellect? If it is due to our hard work and effort, who is the one that gave us our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears? Who is the one that blessed us with all the faculties that we have and the potential that we have? Did our mothers and fathers have the ability to provide for us intelligence and hearing and speech and heart, liver and lungs when the mother did not even know what was happening in the darkness of her stomach? Who was providing it? And when the child came into this world, which mathematics he did and which scientific discoveries he made and which technology he used? He didn't even have the technology to keep himself clean. His mother had to wash him dozen times a day. And especially if he had diarrhea, then we know what was his condition. He had to scream and cry for the mother to wash him. Now this person suddenly becomes proud and arrogant that it is all due to my hard work and my ability and my effort. So if it is due to intellect and hard work and effort, who is the one that provided all that? And if it is due to the person having received inheritance, who is the one caused him to be born in that home? Whichever way you look at it, I'm not going into that discussion again, but whichever way you look at it, at the end of the day, you will have to admit and acknowledge that whatever we possess is nothing but the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is the one who has planned for us that this person will receive so much of intelligence, and then he will receive so much of sustenance, and that these are the stages of his life that he will have to go through. And that is the reason why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala questions a person in accordance with what he has been given. If the person hasn't been given intelligence, he is a madman, then this person will not be questioned on the day of Qiyamah for his actions and for his deeds, because he didn't have intelligence. But if he's been given intelligence and a willpower, so now he'll be questioned that how did you make use of this willpower? So we mustn't blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he dislikes those who are committing evil actions and evil deeds. But when the old person commits that same evil actions and deeds, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dislikes him even more. Because as I mentioned in the case of zina, that young person at least will say, well look, he was tempted and his passions overcame him and he committed zina, which was haram and which is not right, and he shouldn't have done it. But for the old person, straight away should have thought that in this old age of mine, in my 50s and in my 60s and in my 70s, what else am I waiting for? What if my death comes in this state? He should have more khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in the same way here, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dislikes that person who is elderly committing evil actions and deeds. When we read sometimes the newspapers and sometimes articles and sometimes news items that we listen to, and when we hear of 75-year-old people and 65-year-olds and much more in age, when they are raping and when they are committing kind of sins which even shaitan becomes ashamed of, then it makes us think. But if those are non-Muslims, they are disbelievers in Allah Ta'ala, then we will say, well, the whole youth of that person went like that, his middle age went like that, so in old age also he is doing the same thing what he was doing whilst he was a young person. But the Muslim, the person who believes in Allah Ta'ala, in the Akhirat, in the Day of Judgment, in Jannat and Jahannam, then he, even if in his young days he was indulging in some kind of sins, at least he should have some aqal and intelligence that now I have reached a ripe old age, and how can I be indulging in this kind of sins anymore? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala detests that person even more. Then he says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah ta'ala does not like a miserly person. The person who is stingy, the person who is kanjus, makichus, the person who is miserly, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't like. Because they say one fly landed in somebody's tea. But this person was very, very miserly. So before the fly could fly away, he made sure he squeezed out that little tea from that fly. Therefore they call him kanjus makichus. Nevertheless, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't like miserly people. But when a rich person is miserly, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dislikes him even more. Because Allah ta'ala provided for that person. And in that person's wealth, Allah ta'ala kept a share for the poor, for the needy, for his family members who are sick, who are weak, who may not have the ability to earn. It's not only for him that Allah ta'ala has given it to him. Again, when we read sometimes the balance sheets of people of billions of dollars, oil wells they have got and billions they are owning. Now we just wonder, what is that billion going to help this person when he is going to die? Is he going to take it with him in the grave? And how many generations ahead is he looking of him? That he is providing for himself, for his wife, for his children, for his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren. How long is he going to be able to use that? So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dislikes the miserly, but the person who is rich and he is miserly, then Allah ta'ala dislikes him even more. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dislikes pride. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dislikes the person who indulges in pride. But the person who is poor and then he is full of pride, because I mentioned to you that pride is not wearing good shoes and good clothes. Pride is looking down upon somebody else, and pride is the rejection of truth and haq. So now haq is coming, truth is coming, but this person is rejecting it. He doesn't want to make salat, he doesn't want to make zikr, tilawat, ibadat, he doesn't want to be honest, doesn't want to be truthful. In his poverty also, he is still carrying on with zina and with so many other kinds of sins. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala detests and dislikes this person even more. And on the other side, if you look at the opposite, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam balanced everything. That one side we are talking about detesting and disliking. So now let us look at who he likes then. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he says that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala likes the person who is pious, who is righteous, who is God-fearing. The person who has got taqwa in him. The person who has got khawf and fear of Allah Ta'ala, the person who has got love of Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all that is in the meaning of taqwa. So the person who has got these type of sifats and qualities and attributes in him, Allah Ta'ala loves, he likes. And when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is pleased, then I have mentioned many times, then Allah Ta'ala gives the person gardens in his heart. gardens of Jannat, not only gardens of Jannat, the Khaliq of the gardens of Jannat comes into his heart. So what kind of happiness he must be getting? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala likes the person who is pious, who is righteous. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves even more the young person who is pious and righteous. Just as he dislikes the one who is sinful, but the old person who is sinful, Allah Ta'ala dislikes him even more. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala loves and likes those who are pious and righteous. And Allah Ta'ala puts the crown of his wilayat on their heads. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, "You are mine." Therefore, at the time of death, the angels come and tell him, "Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbiki raziyatan marziyah. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي." Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, "These are my servants. In this world also they remain my servants. So when you enter into Jannat also, first meet my servants. They were mine. Shaitan and nafs couldn't snatch them away. They did not distance themselves from deen, from sharia, from the Quran and sunnah." So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala likes those who are pious and righteous. But the young person, the one who has got youth in him, he's got energy in him, he's got health, he's got strength, he's got everything going for him, and he's got wealth also, he's got a good car also, and he's handsome also. Or if it's a woman, she's pretty also. Now these people are restraining themselves from haram, and these people are subjecting themselves to the Quran and the Sunnah. And if there's any kind of entertainment and pleasure which is of the haram kind, then no matter what the society thinks of them, society can call them orthodox and old-fashioned and living in the camel age, and society can call them, "You are stupid and foolish and mad that you are not enjoying this type of haram entertainment." Then they say, "No, we are Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's servants. We are going to look at Him. What pleases my Allah pleases me. If it displeases Him, it displeases me." And this person restrains himself. So Allah Ta'ala loves that young person even more. If you have to look at the lives of those young people who are truly changing, I'm not talking about cosmetic changes, those who are truly changing their lives, believe me, because I deal with young people, I deal with a lot of young people from all over the world now. They are writing, corresponding, because they pick up the lectures and talks on the internet. And then they tell you after that, or they write to you and they tell you that what happiness they found, what contentment they found, what satisfaction they found. And young people dreaming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam handing them some sweet or some toffee or welcoming them or greeting them or embracing them. Now why are they going through all these type of beautiful experiences? Because they were young, they had everything going for them. And when the society was making a big joke and a mockery of them, at that time they said, "No, we are going to please our Allah." So Allah Ta'ala likes and loves the pious, the righteous, but the person who is young and he is pious and righteous, then Allah Ta'ala loves him even more. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves the poor person. But that poor person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves the person who is generous, the person who has got generosity in him. He is sakhi. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves him. But when a poor person is generous and sakhi, Allah Ta'ala loves him even more than the rich person. Because the rich person has got all the wealth if he wants to distribute. And that poor person, he may just have 10 rands, and from the 10 rands he gives 1 rand. Or he shares that loaf of bread with the other poor neighbor. Or he shares that clothes with somebody that is poor and needy. So Allah Ta'ala loves that poor person even more. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves the person who has got tawazu in him, the person who has got humility in him. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves that person. Allah Ta'ala elevates that person. Allah Ta'ala likes the person who has got tawazu and humility. But when a rich person has got tawazu in him, when a rich person, he has got humility in him, he does not walk on the earth with pride and with arrogance, then Allah Ta'ala loves that rich person even more than that poor person. Because he's got everything, that is the saman, if he wanted. These were the things that could have brought pride and arrogance in him. But he did not become proud and arrogant. He bowed down before Allah Ta'ala. He considered all these things to be bounties of Allah. He made shukr of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. He didn't consider himself as superior to others. So now Allah Ta'ala loves this poor rich person. Although he's rich, but he's got salat, namaz, zakat, hajj, everything in his life, his akhlaq and character is good, he's honest and truthful, and he's got humility, then Allah Ta'ala loves him even more. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the sifat of tawazu and protect us from this terrible disease of pride, which has caused destruction in so many lives. The time has once again expired, otherwise there's just a flood of mazameen that's coming. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal, remove our difficulties, problems, hardships, and that of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.